What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
What's up, y'all? This is Apologia Radio. I am Jeff Durbin. I am not here today because your mom.
Welcome to Apologia Radio. If you're a faithful listener, something has gone awry because the bear is in control today. Jeff Durbin is on vacation. I'm not going to say where because I hate him in my heart for where he's at. No, he's at Disney with his family for a much needed vacation. So Ice Ice Durbin, yes, I am pushing that, by the way, Ice Ice Durbin.
Okay.
So he's not here, he's gonna take it. Ice Ice Durbin's not here, but we do have a special guest. Sorry, I'm not used to Jeff's microphone. It just went away from me. What? Did I just go in and out?
I don't know, you didn't.
I don't like the ghost of Ice Ice Durbin is messing with me. We have a special guest today.
Hello.
In studio, and it is the famous Skinny Jeans.
What's up? How's
Elliot
it going?
Hillis.
I wasn't so famous as Skinny Jeans until you kept perpetuating this fable of the one time I wore skinny jeans. And now
it's not a fable. It's not a fable.
True. It only takes one time.
And now I'm here to try to undo all the damage that you've done since the last time I was on. Since now that we have people visiting our church from out of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up and like, oh, you're skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you know what? Your hands are really small. Just like your friend Luke said. Well, you're wrong there because he's not my friend.
No, I've seriously been there with people. I'm like, this is Elliot. And then they listen to the show. And then they're like, I'm like, skinny jeans. Like, oh, hey. Yeah, I know you.
They
are.
Don't actually know you as Elliot. Yeah. Just skinny
right,
jeans.
Right.
Now, listen, last time, I think it was last time you were on. It was last time I led the show when you were on. I think, you know, I played a clip of John Dacre as a joke. Saying it was you, and I think it gave you a bad rep, so I apologize for that. But I wanted to make up for it.
Okay.
What you got? So I actually have special music that Elliot did recently at church. I'm going to go ahead and play, and we're just going to listen to it while we talk. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Here it goes. Or not. Okay, here it goes. Sorry.
Divine intervention?
Yeah, here it is. Nope. You know what this is, Elliot?
I know what it is already.
You remember playing this?
Too bad that people can't see my awesome dance moves.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, if you could see this, you would know how awesome of a dancer Elliot is, too. So anyways.
Oh, my gosh.
so So we're gonna listen to Elliot sing about the renewed mind.
And a couple going along my chair.
Yeah, I think it's Sarah and Steph singing with you, or maybe Alex.
You can hit that. You can hit that range.
Yeah, yeah, he's got that Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, he does. Okay, so
thanks, man. I needed that.
The best is at the end when Ellie does his.
I have my solo
dance solo. Yeah,
I worked really hard on that. Don't
I know? It was awesome. I was very impressed.
It was all for Jesus.
The best is, you know what? I like Sarah on the background with the truth keyboards.
The truth keyboards. Yeah.
So.
Wow, there's a lot of commitment in this video. Yeah,
have
lot.
You never seen this, Joy?
A no, lot of I practice. Haven't.
Oh, you got to watch not. The whole thing at some point because it gets amazing at the end.
So.
Oh my gosh.
And they just twirled.
Yeah. So, Joy. You want to pull up some BuzzFeed action?
I have a thing that I'm supposed to be reading.
Is this just going to play in the background?
Yep. We're going to finish it.
Yep.
It's I want people to get the full effect of Elliot.
Yeah. Okay. Time. So Luke asked me to get on some BuzzFeed action. So today we're going to read, it's titled 58 Extremely Disappointing Facts About the Class of 2018. We're not going to read all 58, though.
No, some of them are
because that's a lot of information. Yeah. And we don't like to give information on the show. We try to keep it light, you know? Okay, so they're graduating in 2018.
Mm.
That means they were born 2000, you know, roughly around that time. Okay, so they've never lived in a world with monthly texting limits.
Mm.
They never knew Destiny's Child with four members or at all.
I've heard of it.
I barely remember that.
Motorola Razr. They don't know what that is.
Yeah, that was my favorite one.
Yeah, and then there's a picture of it, like, in a museum.
Yeah.
It's no longer... It's considered an artifact.
Do you remember when that was, like, the big craze?
That was the, like, the cool phone to have.
Yeah.
And I never had one because it wasn't cool.
I think my mom had... Go ahead, say it.
Your mom.
Thank you. I think my mom had a Razr up until about 2 years ago.
Mm.
That's how cool she is.
Interesting. She's, like, vintage.
Yeah.
All right. Star Wars has never been a trilogy.
Although that's not true because now there's going to be another three more, right?
Yeah, but that's not.
Okay.
But then there'll be.
It's a separate trilogy. It's, it's now technically a saga.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's now more than three. Now they will know a trilogy of Star Wars, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, but they won't know it as just three
movies.
Okay,
I got you.
Right.
Let's move on.
I like this one. Eminem could, without a doubt, be their dad.
Yeah, that's.
I feel like there's some truth to that, you know?
Yeah.
Or one of the dudes from Hanson could be their dad.
Dang.
They've been alive for 47 albums of Now That's What I Call Music.
Hold on.
That's terrifying.
Speaking of Hanson, you know,
I mean, to the people at Now That's What I Call Music, if you're listening to this, just stop. 47?
Oh, yeah.
47.
It makes you think of Whose Line Is It Anyways? Like, you know, when they do those,
the album
compilations, No, Hanson. You know Hanson has their own beer line?
Are you kidding
me? They do?
No. It's hilarious.
Wow.
I think it's called...
Fruit beer?
Hop or something like that.
Hop?
Yeah.
What?
I'm serious.
No.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, moving on.
That's awesome. They don't understand where the shutter sound... Your phone... They don't... Okay,
what?
Some of these are worded really weird.
English,
okay, so when you take a picture and there's the little shutter noise...
Yes.
They don't get where that actually comes from.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what is... Yeah,
potentially, they wouldn't understand. They're like, oh, this is just the sound they made up. They've never experienced the crippling fear that comes with picking a top eight on MySpace. Do you guys remember that?
That is true.
I feel like...
I used to be really upset when people took me off their top eight, especially when it was my girlfriend at the time. Like, what's happening here? Needless to say, we didn't last too much longer.
You took me off your top eight and it was over.
That's right. True story.
They've never had the crushing realization that their disposable camera pictures didn't come out well.
Mm, that always sucked.
Yeah, that was always just...
That was terrible.
That'd be the worst when you'd have like a whole roll, you get back and they all were terrible. And you're like, I just wasted like $30.
Double exposed or anything.
I got doubles and they all suck.
And then doubles. Did you ever not order doubles and they gave you doubles? And then you realize, why would I ever need... two pictures of my thumb and then have my friend's face.
Because you have two thumbs.
The best is when you'd get like someone else's mixed in with yours.
Yes. Weird.
Oh, dude, I can tell you some horror stories about working. Working in at a Walgreens.
Oh man,
people would not really have the ability to edit their pictures before they sent them in. That was pretty horrifying.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie with Robin Williams? Was it 1 Hour Photo or whatever?
Yeah, wasn't he like some crazy psycho?
I was going to ask if that was you.
Yeah, that was me.
That's based off my life.
Just give me a picture. I love you.
That was a creepy movie, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, some of them were born the same year that the first Apple stores opened.
Mm.
Nice.
It's kind of crazy.
Mm.
They'll never know the lie that was anti-skip technology on a CD player. That is so true.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That was just...
jerks.
That's just insulting that they would even think we'd fall for that.
Because you did everything you could to test it.
Yes.
So you'd like just drop it on purpose.
Yeah. You're like
and then
shaking
you wore off all the anti-skip, and then it just skipped three times worse
That's
than
right.
anything.
That's right.
Like it over had a like bump in my bike.
It had a quota. It would just like go down. It
was like on a trampoline.
Yeah. Let's put this theory to the test. Like when you had those watches that were quote unquote water resistant.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can dive to the bottom of the pool with your watch on.
Mm-hmm. It means like 2 feet of water.
Yeah, right.
Then you're still
can't
good.
Take a bath with it.
Okay. Roll down your window has no meaning. That's kind of weird, actually, because you can still electronically.
I have manual windows, so that means a lot to me.
I had manual windows for a long, long time. Now I upgraded with the times.
Nice, yes. Fancy. You get rid of the roller skate.
Yes, I did. Okay, they've always had GPS and never had to look up directions and print them out and then have them be wrong, MapQuest.
Oh, my gosh. Did
wrong
you guys
directions.
See a few weeks ago, there was a thing floating around on Facebook, and Jonathan posted it, and it was like 25 reasons why people should not be allowed on Facebook or something. Did you guys see this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, there are some dumb people in the world.
It's
there was somebody that were like, what did people do before Google Maps? How'd they know where to go? And somebody was like, they use maps.
Well, and then they came back and they're like, no, I said before Google Maps.
Yeah.
Maps just didn't exist before Google Maps.
Stars.
Yeah.
Someone just came up with that.
You see the one, I think it was the very last one, they're like, said that someone's like, I just ate a completely raw chicken breast. Somebody owes me $20. And someone goes, you're going to get salmonella. And he's like, no, I said I ate a chicken breast.
You know,
we should find that and read some
time,
of those.
Though,
some of those were good.
There is still a place in this world for people like that.
Yeah,
not very long if you keep eating like that.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, this one I like. They've never had to untangle a phone cord, straighten an antenna for TV reception, and they probably have no clue what's happening in this picture. And then the picture is a guy blowing into a video game cartridge.
Oh yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That would make me so mad. You'd be like in the middle of the game and it'd like stop and you're like, no.
And then you have to put it in a weird angle so it like barely like clipped. It's like, yeah, this is going to work this time.
You have to like stand on it.
Press reset 100 times.
Seriously. And somehow it wasn't like sometimes blowing into it one time wasn't the solution. It was like 10 times and then it would start working again.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't understand that.
Jerks.
But anyway.
Oh,
we're done.
Well, see, this
apparently
is the problem. I don't see Chris, so I don't. Anyways. So we're almost done with the segment. How many more do we have?
There's a lot.
You want to continue this?
They've only been alive
we'll
for three
this.
Harry Potter books.
This is Apology Radio. We love you guys. ApologyRadio.com.
Stay skinny.
Apology Radio will be right back.
Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flowing like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop, yo? I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll flow to the extreme, rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage, watch it jump like a candle. Dance.
Hey Luke,
yo,
are you a fan of that song?
I love this song. Welcome back to Apology Radio.
Just wondering.
Yeah, I play this in honor of Ice Ice Durbin because he's not here, and
you're
like
gonna
I said,
make it happen.
Yep. Now, I was a huge fan of this song. You guys were probably not even alive. Well, you might have been.
I was, yeah.
You probably weren't even alive, Joy, when this song came up.
I don't feel like I'm missing out on much.
So maybe we should make a BuzzFeed about you, your generation, what you missed out
on. I know. It's interesting that the youngest person in the room read the class of 2018.
Yeah. I had the song clearly memorized.
Yeah, clearly.
When I was a senior in high school, I actually translated it into Spanish in my Spanish class.
Nice.
You still remember it in Spanish?
Nope. The only thing I remember from Spanish is Donde está el baño.
There you go. It's an important one.
It's a very important one.
For you, especially.
Yeah. Oh, yes, exactly. That's why it was very always stuck with me.
Came in handy.
Yeah. Anyways, so Joy just found another
incredible
BuzzFeed.
Something way, way better. 21 people who were born to do their jobs. We were actually just talking before we started recording about people with awesome last names. But these are people that have names that are ironically relevant to their occupation. So we have a firefighter named Lieutenant Les McBurney. and then a veteran named Admiral Sir Manly Power.
That's awesome.
Then we have a guy. His name's Christian Guy. And he works for the Center of Social Justice. Christian Guy. And then a doctor named Ferris P. Achu. Then we have Dr. Doctor. D-O-C-K-T-O-R.
Wow. It's like a Three Stooges skit.
A chiropractor named McCracken.
Release the McCracken.
He doesn't have a first name. He's like Madonna.
Yeah, exactly. Just one name.
Give me McCracken.
These two gentlemen who were arrested for marijuana possession, Gregory and Timothy Weed.
What?
Nice.
A meat manager named Brad Slaughter.
That's awesome.
Also, a lawyer named Jonathan Law. Mm-hmm. Scott Speed. Does anyone want to guess what he does?
He's a race car driver?
Yeah, he sure is.
Wow.
Also, Storm Field. Weatherman.
What?
This deli manager named Laura Hamm. A Republican candidate named Rich White.
That's pretty good.
Then also, there's a book that's called The Complete Riggers Reference Handbook, and it's by Mike Riggs. Also, Sergeant Paul Paulos of the St. Paul Police Force.
Stop it.
Wait, say that one more
Paul
time.
Paul Paulos of the St. Paul Police Force. Send them out on task right now.
Sergeant Paul Paulos. From the St. Paul Police.
I never understood parents that would do that to their kids.
Seriously, right? Here's a lawyer that's named Sue Yu. And then finally, the world's best correspondent, Matthew Correspondent. His last name is Correspondent.
Yeah, those people were definitely like born to do those jobs.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. They had to. Yeah, they didn't really get a choice. There's some tragedy in that.
Yeah.
That BuzzFeed article.
Yeah.
They never had a choice. They had to be firefighters and lawyers.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I never understood the parents that would name their kids like Richard Richards.
I went to school with a Andrew McAndrew.
Like, I just want to punch those parents. Like, well, why would you do that to your kid?
They just didn't think about it, or.
They probably thought it was clever.
Yeah.
I went on a mission trip with a guy, right? A guy, his name was Ashley Gurley.
Oh my god!
Oh, that's just not nice.
That's mean.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not listening to this.
Seriously.
It's like 14 years ago. I hope not.
It's not his fault, I guess. Just in case you are listening.
It is your fault. When you're a grown man, you haven't changed your name by
just
now.
Just change your name, I guess.
Yes.
Did he go by Ash or something?
Nope.
Ash.
Went by Ashley. Ashley Gurley.
Wow. He rocked it.
So yeah. Then he would have been called, as an adult, would be called Mr. Gurley?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Gender confusion.
It's like a boy named Sue.
A boy named Sue. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I know.
I was making sure. Ellie, I didn't know if he was with me there.
I'm just not with anyone today. Okay. I'm still waking up. Aren't you glad you brought me on?
I am actually very glad we brought you on.
Sweet.
And sorry, my sound effects aren't working. Hey, Gil, can you go ahead and bring it back up? That reminds me. So I was going to say what happened at the end of last segment. We had Chris was our tech most of the first segment, and his lights were off in the other studio, so we could never see him. And then Gil came in and replaced him, but none of us knew. And so then Gil forgot to tell us there's a minute left. That's why we're like, oh, I guess the segment's on. But then all of a sudden Gil was like, oh, sorry. And it was a completely different person, and it all freaked us out.
Yep, it was weird. Weird stuff.
Yeah, weird stuff. Hey, Gil, what's going on? He gave me a thumbs up. I thought you were going to say something.
But yeah, sometimes Chris likes to shut off the lights and then there's just a big glare. You can't actually see him. So he's just all...
Yeah, I feel like we were on our own.
Like, what was your word for it, Elliot? Cryptic?
Cryptic?
I agree. I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Tales from it's
the omnipresent voice in the back.
Of the Crypt Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Do this.
Okay. So this segment, we got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
I was actually planning on bringing our guest. I'll go ahead and preview what we're going to talk about. So we're going to have Marcus Pittman come in here in a minute, and we've never had him on the show ever. This is the first time for him. but we're going to talk about some more SpongeBob SquarePants stuff in the news today, which we'll play a clip and everything. So we all... Oh, sorry. Elliot, turn your phone off, will you?
Sorry.
What are you, a newbie?
Yeah, that was my stupid podcast.
2 minutes, thanks,
Gil.
You say podcast?
Podcast updater. Mm. It does it in the middle of the night, so it freaks me out because I'm trying to sleep in this big glow.
<Boo-boo>!
Your podcasts have been updated. Thank
Speaking
you.
Of podcasts,
yes,
you should listen to this.
Okay.
Via podcast.
You should. And you can find us at iTunes.
Yeah.
Look up Apologia Radio, not Appalling Radio as...
Or Polynesian Radio.
Or Polynesian Radio. Or you know...
Apologia Radio.
Since we have some time... Our friends at Backpack Radio have been talking a lot of junk lately.
They have, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was listening the other day, and he had our atheist friend on from his mind slipping me, Andre. Andre Soleil. And Vocab called us Appalling Radio.
Hmm.
Appalling.
Interesting. Yeah. Appallingly good.
Yes. And then he talked again about how long our show is. And that's just them being jealous because they have like
Seriously. A
15-minute long show.
They have
nothing
to say.
Yeah, I think it's like 15 minutes. They record a whole month of shows in one hour. But I mean, that's easy to do when it's just vocab talking and you get Vermont every once in a while say something. And Bob's snoring half the time, so yeah, just like that. So check out Backpacker Radio. We love them even though they talk smack.
Seriously. Well, obviously we talk smack too.
Did I say backpack? I meant fanny pack.
Oh. Yeah, you've been calling them Backpack Radio the whole segment.
How dare
That's
you.
Because they've been trying to change their perception. But it is fanny pack. And I've been listening too much to them and their lies.
You know we're committed to truth here on Apologia Radio.
Yes.
So it is fanny pack.
We love you, fanny pack, backpack, vocab.
Your mom.
ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Luke, I am not your father. You are listening to Apologia Radio. Here are your hosts, Luke Bearwalker.
I'll never turn to the dark side.
J2D2. And J3TO.
Use the comm link. Oh my.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Obviously, we don't have J2D2 in here today, but we do have Hillbaka.
Hillbaka.
Come on, I was hoping
the best you can come up with. Come on.
Trust me, I looked for a long time. Or we could do General Hillis.
I prefer that. Jedi Hillis. That's what I go by everywhere else.
Oh, I forgot you do go by Jedi Hillis.
Yeah, man.
Everywhere
That's
else.
That's my sign-in.
I was really hoping that you would do a...
Now everybody knows my internet name.
That's like what your mom calls you and stuff.
Come here, Jedi Hillis. Time to get in.
I was really hoping
Jedi bathrobe.
I was really hoping you'd bust out a Chewbacca thing for
me. Oh yeah, I could do that.
Okay.
See.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So
I kind of don't like that I'm
Can we talk Star Wars?
I want to be
something huge happens.
I want to be R2-D2. I don't want to be
you're JT.
Yeah, I don't want to be C-3PO.
You know what?
I don't like him. I think R2-D2 is really cute, so I think that should be me.
Sorry.
Hope you're the annoying robot.
I know, the really super whiny, like high maintenance.
But you're fluent
jerk.
In over 6 billion forms of communication, so.
That's not true.
There's an upside.
As you can tell, we have
women
a huge.
Women are communicators.
We do have a huge Star Wars nerd with us today.
Absolutely.
So go ahead, you have some news you want to talk about.
Yes! Oh my gosh. If you can't see me right now, my hands are plastered to the
table. I can't see them anyways. They're too small.
Well done.
No.
Well Dude,
You threw a hanging curve. I had to hit it up.
Well done, sir. Well done. No, I just wanted to exclaim my jubilance over the announcement of the cast for Episode 7 of Star Wars, which is the returning cast, everybody except Billy Dee Williams, who played Lando, and then a bunch of new actors. I don't know. I saw the picture, this black and white picture, J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan and all the original people, and I'm just geeking out. So all the people that believe in the rapture, that's not coming back till that trilogy's done. So I've seen
Are you making a prophecy?
What?
I sound like I had a filter on all of a sudden.
Am I making a prophecy?
Yeah, about the return of Christ.
Well, if it comes true, then
okay.
Yes.
You know what?
I'm perfectly happy to accept them, that I do not have the gift of prophecy. It goes right back to where I was.
There was another character I wanted to use for you that was very obscure, and I was going to use it, but sure, my wife was like, nobody's going to know that. You may not even know this. It was somebody that was filmed in the original but cut out. His name was Biggs Darklighter or something like that.
Dude, it's Biggs. Biggs and Wedge. Biggs is in the original trilogy.
You would know. Okay.
No, he just wasn't in the beginning. They took him out of the
scene.
Oh,
that's what it was. Okay. I didn't
remember. He was Luke Skywalker's friend. He convinced Luke to join the rebellion.
I was going
to
call you Biggs Hilllighter.
It's better than Porkins. I thought you were going to call me that.
Porkins.
Cover me, Porkins.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. That's it. I'm done geeking.
Okay. Anyways, let me introduce our guest.
This obscure
that
guy.
Was like that one time.
Darth Vader. I don't know if you heard of him.
On BuzzFeed, there was some sort of Lord of the Rings thing, and I was like, oh no, this is a little too in-depth. You guys aren't going to know it. And then you guys were all offended, and I was like, do you know what the Nazgul is?
Yeah, see,
and
you
were
yeah,
like, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Did you know Andy Serkis is in the new
Yes,
Star Wars
I did see
movie?
That. Yeah, I was excited about Andy Serkis.
I think we just transformed into Fanny Pack Radio here.
No, we didn't.
That's all they talk about is
awesome
Star Wars.
Pack
okay,
radio.
So speaking of Star Wars, we have a Marcus Pittman on the line. I don't know how they're connected, but... Marcus, I'm thinking you're probably a huge Star Wars fan, aren't you?
I am. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Good. So,
how can you not be a Star Wars fan?
I don't know.
They're not on this show.
We are. No, I am. I'm not a Star Wars geek like you are, but I am a big fan of Star Wars.
Don't even know who Biggs is. Get out of here.
Anyways, did you bring those DVDs, Elliot?
Dude, I forgot.
My 3-year-old is like all into Star Wars, and I was going to go buy some DVDs for her because I don't have them, and they're like $35 each is the cheapest I could find them on Amazon, so I'm gonna borrow.
Sure, I'm trying to get like the laser discs from
yeah, I'm pretty sure
those
are
like
free.
Giant saucers. I don't even know what to do with them. They won't fit.
Hey, y'all saw that photo for the y'all saw the photo that was posted by with J.J. Abrams and the cast?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing you can just take like a photo of from the Star Wars set and make it black and white, and it's like cinematic history.
I know.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do is just black and white a photo from the Star Wars set.
Dude, I had tears welling.
Where geeks everywhere were crying.
I was. Yeah.
And all they did was make it black and white. That's all they did.
Too bad you don't get emotional like that about a picture of Jesus.
Oh, getting that Jesus juke.
Jesus juke.
Shout out to Hacksaw.
I did it. Heaven is for real.
Did you?
You did see it?
Yeah, when at the end of the movie they show a picture that's supposed to be Jesus.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I spoiled it for you. So
did you cry?
No, I laughed really loud in the theater. I was the only one that laughed.
Okay, actually, I want to have you talk about that movie here when we come back. So we'll be back here from the break with Marcus Pittman from Crown Rights Media, ApologiaRadio.com. Right back. Welcome back to Apologia Radio. I played that song for our guest, Marcus Pinkman.
Nice.
You know, I missed that show.
I know.
It feels like television doesn't exist anymore.
Did you see that tribute video that was floating around Facebook yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Marcus.
It's awesome.
It was like 8.5 minutes long, and I was crying
mm-hmm.
almost. It was awesome. I'll have to find it and send it to you. You'll appreciate it. It was just like somebody did a really good job of putting this tribute video together of the whole show and everything. It was really, really good.
I'll have to check it out.
Okay, cool. So I want to hear what your take on the Heaven is for Real.
For reals.
For reals.
For reals movie.
For real.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It was a terrible movie.
It was that good, huh?
Yeah, it was really bad. It was really bad. And it was just a bad movie. I haven't even gotten to the theology part yet. I'm just talking about just the film itself. It plays as like the cliche Christian everything film.
Oh, nice.
Like if a secular studio was, it was like Sony was like, hey, we're going to make a film that's just for Christians. And it has all the cliches in it you could expect. Hmm. So it's almost like, you know, like Scary Movie was like a satire on the like bad Christian movie, bad horror movie.
Yeah.
This is like Scary Movie for Christians. It's
Marcus,
satire.
That's your next movie that you're going to make.
There
you're going to make Christian movie
Christian
and it's
movie.
Just going to be like a huge parody movie.
Gosh, that's a great idea.
There you
we
go.
Probably not broadcast this segment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because that is fantastic. Christian
run out,
movie,
run out
movie.
And get the copyright on that or something.
I'll hire the Wayans brothers.
I'll get the Wayans brothers in there too, man. It'll be awesome.
You could just use clips from our show. I'm sure they'd work. That's awesome.
Not another Christian movie.
Well, I think the worst part about the whole film, besides it being theologically abhorrent, was at the end of the movie, and I'm going to spoil it for you so you can thank me later.
Okay.
But at the end of the movie, the whole point, like, the father is telling the kid in all these pictures of Jesus, is that Jesus? Is that Jesus? Is that Jesus? How about this guy? Is that Jesus? And the kid keeps saying, no, that's not him. That's not him. And then at the end of the film, there's this girl who's painting this picture of Jesus that she supposedly had in a vision. And the boy looks at that picture and goes, oh, yeah, that's Jesus. And that's a real painting that a real girl painted that was like, that really happened. So, like, that photo, like from the film, the entire point of the film you get is that photo right there is really Jesus.
Oh.
Like that is really him, everything.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Was he blonde hair, blue eyes?
No, he wasn't like the surfer Jesus.
Oh, that's good.
He was sort of like this like exotic, like probably would have been a male model, you know?
Yeah.
Like green, blue eyes.
Yeah.
He had a neck beard.
Neck beard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Was
kind
he doing
grungy,
the blue steel?
Super tan.
Was he doing blue steel?
Yeah. He was. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, that's too bad. Did you like it, Joy?
No. I mean, it was like exactly.
Sorry, I just said something.
I mean, exactly what Marcus said. It was just like the most just vanilla.
Okay.
Just nothing super special. Like even the moments where they were like angry or passionate,
uh-huh.
It was just like still like very.
Gosh darn it.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. Jeez,
shoot.
God. Jeez. What are you doing to
darn
me
the
here?
Devil to heck.
But yeah, it was, and then I feel like the little boy, like the majority of his part, which I'm not going to get on a little boy's case, but.
It's not his fault.
Well, yeah.
I will. I'll do it. I'll do it.
But
he was a really bad actor.
Yeah. Most of his was like his screen time was just him making like weird faces and it was really strange. It didn't flow well because it would just kind of like, you know, pan to him and he'd be making a weird face. So I don't know if they had trouble getting him to.
It was like the boy on the Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
It was just him, like almost like he was demon possessed.
Oh,
he was
weird.
Just like making these weird stares at the camera. Hmm. Like I think what happened was he's just a really bad actor.
Yeah,
and so like the director was like, "Oh, look, he's not paying attention. Film him."
Yeah,
film him
exactly. They just kind of filmed and then took what they could get.
Was this the movie? Is this the one that had Hercules and Highlander in it? Like the guys who played it. Was it? There's some movie that just came out with Kevin Sorbo who played Hercules.
Kevin Sorbo?
Sorbo. See, I don't even know his name.
Sorbo.
No, this had Greg Kinnear in it.
No, Kevin Sorbo was the one that God is Not Dead.
Oh, yeah. And wasn't the guy that played Highlander, wasn't it too, right?
Christopher Lambert.
I don't know. There was like a couple of those like cheesy.
I think you mean the guy
Greg
who played
Kinnear, Greg
Raiden
Kinnear's
in
a
in
Baby
Mortal
Mama.
Kombat?
I love Greg Kinnear, so I'm kind of disappointed he was in
it. I know. It was weird. And his role in it, I mean, it's exactly what you'd expect from a non-Christian playing a playing a Christian. Yeah. So many air quotes happening yeah. right now.
Did either of you guys, can I ask, did either of you guys read the book? Were you familiar
no.
with
no.
the story?
I mean, I knew of the book before the movie, but yeah. I never read it.
So it wasn't like you were in there like, this is all wrong.
this is just the continuity here between the book and the movie. Just not right.
Because the book is like 50 pages. So
it's a little short thing.
Well, on that note, movie night.
There's one actually. Okay, there's not. One scene that I really want to talk about.
Yes,
it's Greg Kinnear is preaching again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna just air quote the whole thing.
Yeah, just do it.
But I'm saying, just take everything with a grain of salt.
He preached for 80% of the film, by the way.
Yeah, but
it was just him at a pulpit. That was the entirety of the film.
Yeah,
and strange faces.
How did he do? Did he do okay?
Well, so it was more like life lessons, but there was this one time he was preaching and he like is talking and he like picks up the Bible and kind of gives it this look like he's about to open it, and then he like gives it this look that's like better not, and just puts
and
it,
puts it down.
I was like, wow. What does that happen?
Oh, no.
That was my favorite scene in the
seriously,
whole film.
Better not use the Bible.
It's almost like almost felt like the director like was playing with us.
Yeah,
as Christians. Like, because like the entire point of the movie I thought was like that he has no money.
Yeah.
And then, like, his kid has this vision, and suddenly his church is filled. He gets a book deal. It's like, oh, because they never answer how he gets money to pay all these bills.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the question throughout the whole thing is, like, how am I going to get money to pay these bills? And then the kid has a vision, and all problems are solved. And so, so, like, I was like, that director, man, he was pulling something on us. He thought.
So far.
He knew what was up.
It sounds a lot like his other role in Little Miss Sunshine, where he had
that was an awesome movie
like
too.
The seven steps to whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, did he do a good? I bet he didn't do as good of a job as Robert Duvall in The Apostle.
I wouldn't know.
Marcus, have you seen The Apostle?
I have not.
Oh my gosh, Marcus!
What?
Don't see it,
Marcus. You need to go when the show's over. You need to go on Netflix and watch The Apostle,
or
you will thank me later.
Skip all that.
Glory.
Is that the movie about like a 13th apostle?
No, basically he's like this old school like a southern preacher, and he ends up baptizing himself as an apostle, and it's really really good, really good. Like no, seriously, like Elliot can vouch for it. He like his acting job in it was absolutely amazing. He clearly like had an understanding of that like whole genre or whatever. Like he understood the people and the preaching and the music and all that stuff. It was really well done. So
okay,
anyways,
check it out.
Yeah, you'll thank me later.
All right, let's move on from
that. So will Joy if she'll ever watch it.
Let's move on from that.
The Apostle.
We can
Robert
stop
Duvall.
Talking about that.
Glory.
Your mom.
Glory. Yes, sir. So we're almost done, aren't we, Gil? Oh, okay.
We
so I'll go ahead
to intro this.
Okay. If Marcus, are we allowed to talk about why you're coming to see us in June? Or is that top secret?
Yeah, let's not.
Okay, fine. I will say that Marcus is coming. He's going to visit us, and we're excited.
Yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to come and film the Erkin Kanter documentary.
Yeah.
And so I can't talk about that. But there's nothing really been decided about that as far as when that's going to happen. But I definitely want to, since I'll be there in Phoenix, hopefully.
Yeah.
I want to come down and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, we're excited.
And we might film something for the future of Crown Rights and the furthering of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
So you'll be in the studio, and we'll have you on the show again, and it'll be all good. Hey, I was thinking you should name... Instead of being the Kaner Project, you should call it the Canker Sore Project.
Wow.
How about
no?
we don't?
Okay. Are you working with Dr. White on that one?
I think he'll be in it. It's kind of hard to tell the Kaner story without James White.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Just pull clips from his show.
Yeah.
They're inseparable now, forever.
Yeah, serious.
The entirety of church history, James White
seriously
will be referenced with Erkin Kanter.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for that. So I don't know. We're trying to figure out. I guess we'll go ahead and talk about
what we're going to talk
about.
Yeah,
and then I'll play the clip when we come back.
Perfect.
So we mentioned that we're going to talk about SpongeBob SquarePants, also known as Rob Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And so an article popped up yesterday. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Okay. That he is going to have his own show. TV show on the OWN network, which is Oprah's network,
mm-hmm.
which is just a network of false garbage.
I'm so excited I painted my wall Numa green.
Now, we've talked about Rob Bell before, and obviously, you know, it's interesting. I was reading some a little bit more into this, and there were some people that were commenting and saying that he actually, when he first kind of started out, he actually, like, taught solid stuff. And
yeah. That's what's interesting, because I grew up, like, in youth group with some of his stuff.
The Numa videos were awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they were all artistic and cool, and it was, like, totally soundtracks. Like a...
Is it the Numa, like, Numa videos? No. Sorry.
But
that's what I thought of.
But yeah, so it was really interesting to me.
Yeah.
For him, just like all of a sudden I started to hear a little bit about some weirdness with him, and then next thing you know, he's like on national television saying some stuff that's totally crazy.
Yeah, I think the big thing, because I was like a big fan of his stuff. I mean, his videos, it looked like something that, I don't know, like Crown Rights would have done or something. No, seriously, have you seen him, Marcus?
No, honestly, though, Rob Bell inspired me as a filmmaker.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I remember when I first saw them, like, I was a youth pastor at a Southern Baptist church. I've come a long, long way.
Oh, wow.
And
I see you've regressed.
And I made my students watch every one of them.
Yeah.
That's exactly how
except
I...
Except for Bullhorn, because I was kind of street preaching at the time, and I was like, you missed that one.
I don't think
but
I saw
that. I tried to find like the good parts in them, and I was really coming around to Reformed theology and Rob Bell around the exact same time.
Mm.
So like something had to give.
Yeah. Yeah,
it turned out to be the youth group, Rob Bell, and Southern and Baptist theology. So I lost it all because of Reformed theology. It was a good time.
I'm not even gonna address that.
You don't want to go there?
No.
Man.
You keep trying. You
Jeff Durbin's away, man. We can do whatever
I'm
we
not,
want.
Nope, I'm not going there. Your buddy over there at Crown Rights won't leave us alone. He keeps trying. We're not going there. Anyways, I think the thing that the first thing I saw was, I remember there was an article, I think, in Relevant magazine, which is a very highly theologically correct magazine. I said that sarcastically. There was a thing that came out. I remember he said something about how, well, what if Jesus wasn't actually a virgin birth? And what if it, you know, would that really be a big deal? And people were like, what are you talking about, dude? And like,
Yeah.
That was like the start of his downfall. And now he's making lots of money. And the Skrilla's coming
BFFs
in.
He's BFFs with Oprah.
Yeah, apparently.
Isn't it funny how those two things go hand in hand? A major theologian, quote unquote, or public figure starts to veer off, and all of a sudden the money follows with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you see the same thing happen with the guy whose name escapes me right now, the apostate that does all the what's his name? Shoot, I can't remember his name. He's written a bunch of books trying to disprove the Bible and everything. What's his
name? Yes. Now you made me forget it.
I forgot his name.
Dr. White talks about all the time. He's debated him.
Yes.
He's supposedly like the world's foremost biblical scholar.
Yeah, anyway, he's like a former.
I'd like to add that I don't think it's a theological problem that the money goes with him. I think the stuff they make is better.
That's a good point.
Interesting.
We can talk about that. 30 seconds. So
the Numa videos were the best Christian film series ever made.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, for real. For reals. Heaven is for reals. Okay, well, we're almost out of time here. We'll be back on the other side of the break with Marcus Pinkman from Crown Rights Media. ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America, One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. realharmony.org. Welcome back to Apologia Radio. If you're listening to this episode, you're like, man, the music this show is all good.
So great.
There's no angry violins.
I was waiting for something like this. I'm honestly surprised this is the first segment that...
There's no sprockets.
Sprockets.
It's all good. I played this one for you, Joy.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I like it.
So, we're back on with Marcus Pittman. Marcus, you had said something at the end of the last segment. Oh, before I say that, Bart Ehrman was the guy we were trying to talk about. We couldn't remember his name.
Right.
Okay.
Famous author.
Yes. So, Marcus, you had said you think that the money flows with the quality of the media. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Talk about
not
that, sir.
The theology.
Is there anything else you want to say, or is that it? That was just a blanket statement?
Yes, confirmed.
That's such a controversial statement, because everybody says, oh, see, they're doing well because their theology is bad. Well, no, they're doing well because their production is good.
Yeah.
I think that's ultimately what it is, because, like, nobody complained that, like, Captain America 2 lost a lot of money because the theology was good in the movie.
Was it?
You know? There was good theology in Captain America 2.
Mm. Okay. I didn't see it.
And it made... You haven't seen Captain America 2?
No.
Great movie.
Oh, man.
I know.
Okay.
I'm lame.
Well, I mean, we don't have to talk about Captain America all day, but it was a good movie. It had good Christian principles in it.
Okay.
And it was very anti-big government, and I thought it was a great film.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you can't say that only the liberal stuff makes good money, because that's not true. It's just it's a matter of people pay money for good movies.
Mm-hmm.
People pay money for good TV shows,
and
that's why those do well.
Yeah,
Christians don't have anything that's rock solid in theology and high end in production. We really don't.
Yeah.
Not that I can think of.
I saw this one movie called How to Answer the Fool.
Maybe Apologia Radio. Maybe
How to Answer the Fool. Have you seen that? I heard that was pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good too. Everybody should go out and buy that just to prove my point.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There you go.
Where can they find that?
Get it on Vimeo.
Oh, okay. Cool. Who did that? The Chocolate Knox? Is that who did it?
What?
The Chocolate Knox did that? Is that?
I think we all did that.
Oh, okay. No, seriously, check that out. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play this clip of Rob Bell, an interview with Oprah. And as you're listening to it, some of it is completely whack. And then some of it, you're like, that sounds kind of right. So we're going to play it, and then we'll talk about the article and everything.
When I read Rob's book, I truly connected with his three main ideas: that God is with us, for us, and ahead of us. I loved the chapter describing a God who's rooting for us, not just in moments of peace and joy and happiness, but also during times of failure, of struggle, despair, brokenness.
And now, for us. for us is about human flourishing. When you hear the word God, do you think God wants us to flourish, to get along, for there to be peace on earth, for there to be better art and more great food? And does God want us to take the best possible care of the earth? And I believe at the heart of the Christian story is the God who comes among us, because this God wants us to flourish, wants us to shine. Jesus even talks about shining like stars in the universe. My experience has been, as a pastor, lots of people, when they start talking about spiritual things, somewhere in there is the God who's against us, who's mad, angry, and I'm trying to recapture. No, for you. Wants you to thrive, wants you to work through all your stuff, wants you to be healed. In the sense of, like, figuring out your past and figuring out your addictions and all the stuff we all sort of stumble through life carrying around.
So God is for humans flourishing.
Yes. Yeah. And on earth is where it matters.
Amen.
On earth. Like when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when he's teaching them, he's not saying, okay, here's the deal.
What?
I'm going to tell you what you need to do so you can get out of here someday. He's telling them what it looks like for this place to be more and more the place God
desires it to be. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Here.
Right here.
Now.
This place.
So this is not an evacuation theology that is about,
I like that.
Here's what you do to,
I like that too.
To get out of here.
To get out of here. To clean up.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to spirituality,
that is post-mill.
This is the, for many people, like the missing piece. I'm not talking about sort of esoteric ideas about maybe someday when you die you can get the proper sort of Ferrari on gold streets.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what happens when you experience right here, right now, a quality of life that is earth and heaven coming together in this place right here. We even talk about heaven on earth. We sort of joke about that, but that's what he teaches us to do. Like when you forgive somebody, when you are generous, when you withhold judgment and you love, that's when you stand up for injustice. Yeah. You are, in that moment, bringing heaven to earth.
Okay, that was the interview there. Marcus. Oh, sorry, the trumpet was coming.
I felt like Rob Bell is preaching.
Yeah, I know, right?
Seriously.
It was weird, right?
Ain't that crazy that they steal our theology?
Yeah.
See, that's crazy. That makes me mad.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, exactly. That was like, I was mad too.
Like, why is my eschatology coming out of his mouth?
Right.
Like, what's wrong? What's wrong with him?
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, we.
So now every time we talk about post-mill stuff, like, where people are going to be like, "Oh, that's that Rob Bell stuff."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's not,
on the bright side. On the bright side, maybe it'll be more accepted now. No, we talk about Rob Bell being, if I can steal from Dougie Douglas Wilson, he's definitely an evangelical fish. He's, you know, we've played clips before from him where it's virtually impossible to nail him down on anything.
Just go ahead. For a second, for people who haven't heard our other episodes, or really, they think that, like, Rob Bell is awesome and they know the Numa videos and all that stuff. Maybe, like, just really quick, we should give, like, three things that Rob Bell believes that are just wrong.
Yeah.
Just wrong. That way people kind of know instead of just, you know,
just
coming out of it. Okay.
Well, basically, he's kind of gone to universalism, meaning... He would kind of, well, I don't know, we'll talk a little bit more of this when I read some article, but he starts talking about how there's, you know, kind of like more than one path to God, and he denies that hell is real. And recently, when we talked about him before, he was saying that homosexuality is not a sin and that there's homosexual brothers and sisters. And then he went on to
if we were to
curse
talk
on the internet
about bringing heaven to earth, part of that would mean less homosexuals walking the earth.
That's true.
And a lot more, he talks about injustice. Well, all that would kind of count too, like, because we would see making adultery and homosexuality illegal.
Mm. Yeah.
So our views of bringing heaven to earth are quite different.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. We talked a few weeks ago when George Trekkie, he had that big idea about, he thought it was a great idea to have a reality TV show with a bunch of Christians that have to live for like 30 days with the God's law or something. And Marcus, you might have been on the show. I don't remember. You know,
no, I wasn't, but that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, right? Exactly. We're like, oh, that's a great idea. And then my next response was, well, that'd be really bad for you, George, because George is homosexual. And if you want us to do that, we would have to probably stone you. So I don't think that would be a great idea.
Not totally beneficial.
That. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're right. Let's do it. What are we waiting for? Hey, there you go, Marcus. Another idea. Crown Rights Media. Reality TV show.
There you go. That's it. That's it.
Yep. You and the Knox. Just you two.
I don't know how that would be possible, though, because those laws are enforced by government officials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like there would be nothing, all the stuff that he hates, like the, you know, obviously the ceremonial laws and stuff are in Christ, so we wouldn't worry about those. And then the civil laws, of course, can only be performed by civil justices.
Yeah.
So there wouldn't be much other than the basic laws of morality that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It
just reveals that he doesn't really know what he's talking about when he says God's law.
We had Bo on for that show.
Was Bo, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so the thing with Rob Bell is, like I said, it's impossible to nail him down or anything. You know, we always joke because he'll say stuff like literally, like, God's like, what's the one thing he said? God's like a song.
He's like music that's on the other side of a locked door. So you hear it a little bit and you want to hear more. And then, so you like move the furniture out from in front of the door and then you get the door unlocked. And then you want to like open your windows so that your whole neighborhood can hear the music.
Yes.
And it's like, what does that even mean?
Those NPR voices in the background. I was
talking with Elliot about this on the way here. And just like how sometimes they ask him a question and he like answers with a poem and then he like looks at the person like, wasn't that a great answer?
Let me compare God to a summer's day.
Yeah. So like, I feel like sometimes he just says nothing. Yeah. He finishes his statement and you're like, okay, is that it?
Big old grin.
Yeah. And even,
I think he speaks very condescendingly too.
Oh yeah.
He does. Yeah.
Like everything he says, it's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
because you don't know this already.
Yeah. Well, because of course he's past that now. You know, he believed that at one point, but now he's embraced this higher ideal of what Christianity is "quote unquote" really supposed to be. And you know, and oh, you know, you'll get there someday, but you know, you're not there yet. You're still caught up in your old traditions and judgments and this and that.
Yeah,
and that's
which makes him a perfect friend for Oprah.
Oh yeah,
because I think it's just sort of they're two peas in a pod, sort of saying a lot of things but not really saying anything. And being at this like heightened state of spirituality and
And even when he pseudo quotes the Bible, he'll use a few words that are in the Bible, but then even Jesus taught that like you should like love one another.
That we're like shining stars.
Yeah. And you're like, wait a minute, what's the reference to that again? Yeah.
Do y'all remember his NUMA video on breathing?
Yes.
Yes.
And it was like the words YHWH is really just the sound of breath.
Yeah.
So when you go Yahweh, it's like breathing in and breathing out. I heard that. I was like, oh man, I want to go work out.
Seriously.
Yeah. Hey, I want to praise God about being out of breath. Like his stuff, like his stuff doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it sounds really cool though.
It does.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. He sounds very relevant. Speaking of Relevant and Relevant Magazine, I saw an article about the show in Relevant Magazine, and of course they didn't call out his bad theology. They're just like, oh, he's got this new show, and
it's so
like,
exciting. Okay,
I'm never reading your magazine ever again. ApologiaRadio.com and CrownRightsMedia.com, correct? Or .org?
Correct.org.
.org. I always get it wrong. Check them out. Apologia, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. This is the Ministry Bear. Joy is not liking this song. She's giving me dirty looks. But I played it for a reason.
It's sort of
I was trying to inspire Marcus to do some good music.
It makes me think like...
No one's better than Ivy.
Yeah.
This is Ivy Connerly, produced by the one and only Marcus Pittman.
There you go.
Chocolate Knox actually produced that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
well,
man.
Well, now I feel like a jerk.
Well, that was an older, one, wasn't it?
I don't not like it.
That wasn't from the Unknown God.
Yeah, that is the Unknown God.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I'm really...
Okay, well, it's from Crown Rights Media anyways, nonetheless. I'm just trying to rep you guys. Rep the Crown Rights.
Raise your street cred.
Raise your street credit. Yeah. Okay, so Elliot wanted to mention something here.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was looking at my phone here earlier, and I noticed something funny on Christian Memes, which is a Facebook group. And then we're talking about
Maymays.
Oh my God!
Christian media that does it right. If you, I'm just gotta give them a shout out here because they're hilarious. If you're kind of really sensitive to any type of Christian jokes at all, sometimes there's things that kind of are on the border.
You're probably not listening to Apology Radio,
right? But I would highly recommend you check them out on Facebook.
They're hilarious.
Christian media. They're really, really funny.
My favorite one I think is the one that's about like family integrated service, and he's like,
hear this voice, the song of my people.
Yeah,
with the
this like picture of this
baby.
Little kid. Mm. Yeah. He's like, let me teach you the song of my people.
Yeah, there's a lot of really funny ones on there. So
did you want
check it out,
was
peeps.
There one specifically, or you just wanted to give him a shout out?
Oh no, I just wanted to give him a shout out just because they just keep putting up good stuff.
Okay,
or like takes the love language test, fails it.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, that's a good one.
Takes the five, but yeah, love language just fails it.
Yeah.
There's just so much I can relate to. And
yeah, so was it
gets,
you,
like
Elliot?
It's pointed, yes.
Okay, so back to SpongeBob. So in his book, What We Talk About When We Talk About God, which I wouldn't recommend you get it, he says, there's a growing sense that when it comes to God, we're at the end of one era and the start of another. What does that even mean? An entire mode of understanding and talking about God is dying as something new is being birthed. So my first red flag is anytime somebody comes on as a theologian and says, there's something new. It's like, okay, moving on.
So you know how we used to read the Bible. Now it's a new thing.
Yeah.
Now we just go all off of how we feel.
Yeah, exactly. So Oprah, and this is on her site, I think. She's praising his book. She says, Bell was shaking up the way we think about God and religion. She added, when I first started reading it, I was highlighting my favorite passages, but then I realized, what's the point? I've marked every page. It just wowed me. If you wow Oprah, probably a good or a sign that it's not good.
Yeah.
In the book, Bell explains that God is and always has been with us, for us, and ahead of us. And then he explores how we can really absorb this knowledge into our everyday lives to become more connected to spirit. I was waiting for it, Marcus.
Wow. That's how absurd it is.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Michael Kruger, who we've had on the show,
mm-hmm.
awesome dude, he is a president and professor of New Testament at Reformed Theological Seminary. He wrote about Bell's book. He said, it's really just spiritualism with a Christian veneer and not about the God of Christianity, which is quite true. It's a book that would fit quite well in Oprah's list of favorite books. Yes. So it's just, you know, we're talking about just, it's just garbage. It's just like, it's feel good. It's not calling out any one person or any one group of people. Let's, you know, like, God is for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, God's for you repenting and turning your sin.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, yeah, we're going to say something?
Me?
Just made it sound like you were going to say something.
Just that was one thing I'm glad you touched on, because that is sort of a relevant issue in our culture, where we talk about God and whether or not he is all-loving or is a wrathful God. Does he exist? Of course, if you're Bible-believing Christian, it's easy to point to passages like Romans 1:18, which says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all impiety and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in their own unrighteousness. And so kind of this, it just flies in the face of everything historically and Orthodox Christian in terms of, you know, just paying for sins. Like, well, if everything is okay, why did Christ even have to die? Like, what was the point of
uh-huh.
it?
Yeah.
You know, or like, what? Why even call yourself a Christian? Why even brand yourself at that at this point? His universalism has taken him so far to, you're appearing on Oprah and you guys are on the same page, that tells me that you're an existentialist at this point, practically.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I want to mention that this article was by Ken Silva from Uprising Ministries. So he goes on. He mentions a couple things here I just want to talk about. Where to go? So whether intentional or not, and Rob is much too smart for me to truly believe it isn't, which I agree with, Rob deflected every opportunity to exalt Jesus Christ toward an optimistic, generalized, everyone is going to be fine spirituality that, if embraced, will send you to hell. In the picture he painted, Jesus is not the greatest joy of heaven. Instead, it is seeing relatives you never met. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and he actually...
Where does he get that from?
Yeah, I don't
get it.
Yeah. Well, I've listened to some of his stuff, and even even in like...
Hey, guys, let's not try to be too reformed here, because ultimately God is for us. That's why he sent his son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
And
he's for his church. That.
Yeah.
Right.
And the growth of his kingdom.
Sure,
so
absolutely.
He's so tricky, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he says so much good stuff.
Yeah.
But when you really get down to, like, his presuppositions, like, that's where everything falls apart with Rob.
Well, and that's the danger, is that he says a lot of things that sound, not only sound true, but that are at just face value true.
Yeah.
But then behind it, you discover a lot of
woo-woo. Marcus, I think you're right. I mean, the way he says it, it's like he's... You know, he's making it sound like we're saying that God is only against us. And so it's like, well, he's against sin. let's be clear about that. So he goes on to say, God isn't a person who makes himself known to seek or to those who seek and has given a word to be heard. But rather, here's what we were talking about, like a song you hear in another room, but you can't hear clearly. So you keep trying to hear it more and more. No one is evil in need of repentance. There's a big mistake.
Right.
No one is evil in need of repentance. Everyone just needs to wake up. Death is...
See, that's where he jumped off the cliff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Death isn't...
Oh, you were so close, Rob. Oh, man. You know?
Death isn't a great divider in time of judgment, but only a grand aha moment. I don't even understand what that means. I could say more. Okay, I'll move on from there. So he goes on to say, Rob Bell is dangerous because he is so good at what he does. This is what we're talking about. He rarely understands the power of story and simile, just as Jesus did, and he uses them powerfully, but he draws incomplete and false analogies that have just enough of a ring of truth that they resonate with us. And the small amounts of truth contained in his thoughts fall far short of real good news for the broken people Rob seems to be so concerned for. He offers peace, there's the air quotes again, to so many who have no peace and will never find it if they take him at his word. So when we come back, we got 6 minutes coming up after this. We'll kind of wrap up this discussion here. But yeah, Rob Bell's new show on the OWN Network. I don't recommend you see it unless you see it to do what we're doing and warn people, which people do need to be warned of Rob Bell. He's a false teacher. People need to be calling Rob Bell to repentance, not embracing his bootleg theology.
We'll be right back. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Silence, you won't let go.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. This is the Ministry Bear in the studio with Joy Tembe. The girl.
Joy Tembe.
Huh. The girl.
It's been a long time since I've been called that on this show.
I can
usually just
retract
Joy the
that
girl.
Scene. Sorry, Joy the girl. Elliot the skinny jeans.
Hey, I love that
and Marcus,
song, man.
Marcus Pittman. Yeah, so.
I can't wait to do it. Sunday.
Yeah, we're playing that song, Sunny. That is from the New Run Collective. It's called My Lighthouse. We actually. Funny story, we had a kind of a miscue with our building setup last night, so we literally practiced that song outside, like in the rocks, and
like Rendwood.
Yeah, yes. Like Rendwood. Like I had my bass amp plugged in.
Did you guys take
outside.
Your shoes off and build a bonfire?
No. I had like my extension cord is like in the bush, and
yeah,
it was fun. It worked well though.
It was. I wish we could practice like that all the time.
Yeah. So, Ellie had a good idea. So, this 6 minutes here, we want to wrap up this Rob Bell discussion. So, Ellie was saying, well, how do we respond then to our brothers and sisters who are maybe getting caught up in some of his garbage? And so, Ellie, what were you going to say? I think you had a thought you want to share.
Well, I mean, the first thing is, there's some material out there that's in direct response to it. I haven't read it yet, but Francis Chan put out a book, which I just closed on my iPad and I forgot the name of it. But there's some material out there if you want like something that can directly sort of respond to some of his writings. But I think if you don't have the time for that, I would challenge believers, including myself, to really dive into the scripture and see, is what Rob Bell's saying, is it biblical? Is it true? How do we respond to this biblically? Because it's easy to get really emotional about these things and kind of, fall back upon what you know in your heart to be true. But, if you're not really ready to make a defense for those things, it can catch you off guard. You can let yourself be, sort of taken into that world. So, I would definitely challenge our friends and our believers to look into that scripturally.
Erasing Hell is the name of the
book.
Thank you. By Francis Chan.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I think, I think we all have loved ones. I know I have loved ones that are family, our brothers and sisters, and, they get caught up in stuff, like Joyce Meyer or Joel Bankrolstein, or SpongeBob. And it's like, how do we respond to them? How do we lovingly be like, hey, probably shouldn't be reading that book? Mm-hmm. Because like we've talked about, they all have a lot of truth that they sprinkle in, but then it's always mixed with false lies. And so obviously it's heresy. Marcus, what are your thoughts on that? Marcus,
you there? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, just kidding.
I just think that Rob Bell is like nailing Jell-O to a wall.
Yep.
He's very evasive when he's challenged. And let's not forget, like, his theology is so bad, his original Mars Hill Church removed him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, even the church that he was teaching was like, that's a little bit too crazy, Rob.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so then that's when he decided to go into Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because, he just didn't have, when you're so crazy that your church is like, that's a little bit much.
Yeah. That's a good point. I forgot to mention, when he announced his new show, he came back to Mars Hill. This is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is actually where I was born. He went back to Mars Hill. And this is not Driscoll's Mars Hill. Let's be clear about that. There's a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. He went back after 2 years. He came back to announce his TV show. So it's just kind of funny. Like, all of a sudden he comes back like, oh, yeah, I got this new show. And where's my money? that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I think if I can just say something, the reason people may listen to this and be like, well, why are we picking on Rob Bell? Why is, what's important about this? The reason why it's important is because it's a gospel issue.
Absolutely.
That's what the heart of this is. We, as in our fallen state, are not okay. We need Christ as Savior. We do need to repent and come to know Him and come to fall underneath His grace. And that's something that Rob Bell really is tainting, and that's not something you mess with when it comes to the Christian faith, is the heart of the gospel. And so that's why this is an important issue, and that's why we're harping on this so strongly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously on Apology Radio, we seek truth, and this is someone that's becoming forefront in media and is claiming to be a Christian, and so we need to make sure we're properly equipping the body. And obviously we want to see God's kingdom grow through the gospel, and we don't want to see people destroyed through false gospel, through false teaching and garbage such as this. ApologiaRadio.com. Okay, here we go.
God is good, is He not?
amen to that. God is good all the time. He's a lot better than spam. Speaking of spam.
Good spam segue.
Yes, thank you. Marcus, tell us about gospel spam and if it's good for us or not.
Yeah, well, it is. It is. So we started a website right around the time that we launched Babies Are Murdered here because we realized that there wasn't anybody that was good at doing film reviews and critiques in Christianity.
Okay.
Like, we're trying to send, like, How to Answer the Fold or, like, Ken Challies, and he just kept ignoring it and kept ignoring it. And so we're like, well, how do we get films reviewed if there's no one to review them? And so we started GospelSpam.com, which is a blog that we've started, which Jeff is supposed to write for us, but he hasn't written a single thing yet. But
I actually have a topic I want to write on for you. I just haven't had a chance.
Yeah, just send it to me.
Yeah, I will.
It's just a bunch of people who aren't particularly well known. I guess they're not in the ivory towers, and they're not on the other side of the gate. You know, mm-hmm. within Christianity. That we're just talking on really practical theology stuff that I think is needed in a lot of Christianity. And the site's blown up.
Good.
I mean, my reviews on How to Answer the Fool got over 2,000 Facebook shares, and then the review on God's Not Dead is skyrocketed. And there's a big need for Christians to discuss regular things
mm-hmm.
From a Christian worldview.
Mm.
So that's kind of what the site is, and it started, we got the name, it's a funny story how we got the name. Somebody shared How to Answer the Fool on one of the top guys' Facebook page, whose name rhymes with Ed Stetzer, and he was having a post called something on presuppositional apologetics, like, I don't remember what it was, what are some good resources for presuppositional apologetics?
Okay.
And somebody that we know shared How to Answer the Fool on that post.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, stop spamming my page.
Oh, nice. Don't ask the question then.
And it's like, well, that was kind of relevant to the OP guy.
Yeah.
You know? And so so that's kind of how the name Gospel Spam got started.
Mm.
And so it's kind of taken off, and it's becoming really popular now, and a lot of people are really liking it. And so everybody should put that in their feed reader, GospelSpam.com. Real simple name, and we do film reviews on Fridays, and then throughout the week there's theology stuff, and we talk about regular stuff too, like, you know, we talk about abortion issues, and Tony Miano just wrote a really good blog post on the racism from the Clippers, the guy that owns the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, that's a
Sterling.
Huge issue, yeah.
And so there's just a lot of really cool stuff on it, and it's a great website that everybody should check out.
I thought you just really liked the gospel and you really like spam.
Both.
No?
people hate on spam, but man, in Hawaii, sell millions of cans of that stuff a year, man. McDonald's serves spam on their menu in Hawaii.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So there's a reason they're still in business.
Yeah.
It's not because they're gross.
It's Hawaii.
We have Hawaiian listeners, and they told us that mm-hmm. They love spam.
Yeah,
it's a big
true.
Thing.
Yeah.
It made me want to vomit, but...
I'm surprised you, of all people...
Well, here's the thing about that. The only time I've actually had it that I know of, was at a youth group thing, and it was like one of those stupid games you do, and it was mm-hmm. like a relay race, and I had to eat it raw for like my part of the relay race, and I pretty much just about horked everywhere.
One time it was New Year's Eve, 1999...
Dude, that's the year I graduated. I feel old.
So I was
You're
in
born
youth group.
Then?
No,
oh.
I was in youth group, and we had this gross, nasty challenge, and it was called the Y2K Shake, and it was like spam, tab.
I think I've heard this.
Like just the
you say tab?
Tab.
Oh, that's awesome.
A collection of just the nastiest things you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
And at the time, believe it or not, I was the person. I was the go-to. Joy will eat. The
I believe it.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like durian.
So, obviously was not a vegetarian at that point because I consumed the spam shake.
Ugh.
But the spam was not well blended.
Oh, was it raw? Oh, my gosh.
Right out of the can. And, yeah.
So, basically, you drank a throw-up shake.
Yeah, exactly. It was not the first time either.
That's disgusting.
It was totally gross. But the chunks of Spam that's what I'll really remember, because you couldn't just drink it. You had to kind of like chew the shake a little bit.
Nobody's going to go to the website now, George. It just ruined my plug.
Elliot's not hungry anymore.
No, I keep picturing bacon in my head. Bacon. That sounds so much better.
Better than Spam. You should have called it Gospel Bacon.
Milk was a bad choice.
A lot better.
I also wondered if maybe you named it that because of all the GMO in it, and apparently I didn't see the blog, but apparently Cy took a lot of flack for his love of GMO blog he recently wrote.
I wrote that blog. Yeah, that was Marcus.
My wife said Cy did.
But Cy shared it.
Oh, that's what it was.
I will take all the blame, all the pitchforks from the farmers for that one. That was me, and it was a post-mill spin on GMOs. and look, my point is that they may be bad for you now. They're probably really bad for you.
Probably.
But 1,000 years from now, they might feed the entire Earth.
Like, really bad?
Yeah, it's like not bad. Like, I mean, what's the argument here? Like, yeah, GMOs, which feed people, or like people who are starving to death. Like, yeah. Which is worse?
You know,
which is worse, people starving or feeding them Spam?
So here's what the article is like: McDonald's, the double cheeseburger, got voted the most caloric food for the dollar in the history of the world, like the McDonald's cheeseburger is. And for a lot of poor nations, poor people, inner city urban people who can't afford to go to Whole Foods, that's a good thing for them.
Yeah,
you know, if I got $2, because I've been there, guy. I've been on the ramen noodle diet.
Oh yeah,
you know, I'm still on the ramen noodle diet. You know, so when your bank account is at zero and you find 8 quarters in the bottom of your car, You're not saying, oh, what can I get a Whole Foods? You're going, oh, snap, 2 double cheeseburgers. I'm eating like a king tonight.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you know, so the position of the blog is like, we shouldn't be all crazy, rabid, anti-GMOs. We should find a way to make them healthy so that we can farm. I mean, you don't ever have to go to McDonald's and say, you're never denied French fries at McDonald's because there's a potato famine anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you don't have
to. So you're saying you're we should denied, just. We should take dominion over GMOs.
That's a good point.
Take dominion over GMOs.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. If they're bad for you, let's make them better. Yeah. And it seems to me that there's a lot of farmers who are being, you know, taken. They're not making as much money as they used to be because a lot of the corporations are going with like the industrialized farming now, as opposed to the mom pop guys. And so they're blaming it all on the GMOs as opposed to their bad business skills. So that's kind of something I wanted to point out, too. But also, Monsanto is a very evil corporation with government subsidies and all that other evil stuff. I'm not clueless to that. Like, obviously, that's a problem, too. But, like, we have to come down, you know, food technology is a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, and this is a good little... This is a good little sampling of what goes on Gospel Spam.
Mm.
Topics that you want to know about, but you want to know that you're actually like hearing something that, you know, you would agree with as a Christian from a biblical standpoint or whatever. So it's just like,
yeah, and a lot of the writing's really, really lighthearted and comedic too. So it's not like this serious theological blog that
I feel like the GMO thing was probably the most controversial thing you guys have put up. So far.
I had a farmer's email me. They want my phone number and they want to talk to me about that blog. Like, they're mad about that blog.
Wow.
And it's just like, guys, it's just a blog.
Would you say that there's a lot to consume on your Spam blog?
Nice.
Or maybe it takes a while to digest it all? I've been sitting here quiet the whole time. I had to come out with a bad pun.
Nice canned laughter.
Yeah, that was good, right? That wasn't me. It was Gil.
Nice.
No,
Gil has
actually,
the voice of a thousand people.
I was saying it was Gil laughing. See, now I need J-Man here so I can play this one.
His laugh. Jeremy's here. When we get scared that Jeremy's not here, we just play this and we feel like he's here.
I feel okay. No, Marcus, I thought you did bring up a good point in that blog, because my wife and I were talking about it. You know, we try to eat as organically as much as we can. I know Joy does. I don't know. Elliot just consumes protein powder, so I don't even know what.
He lives off powders.
Yeah, we need to get used to the idea of being vegetarian.
Joy's a vegetarian, so she likes that kind of talk.
Like, that's a good thing, because like there's not going to be animal death on the consummated new earth.
Okay, Marcus, we're done with this conversation.
Bam. Bam. Marcus.
There's not going to be, I mean, because I have vegetarian friends who are post-mill, and this is their position. We got to start creating and paving the way for, you know, vegetarians, because, you know, we got to figure out a way. So, I mean, that's true. There's not going to be Chick-fil-A in heaven.
Now, hold on. Marcus, I have a theory about this.
Okay.
And I'm not.
Right.
I'm trying to gain
Rob Bellis here.
I'm trying to gain some support.
Give us
a little bit of truth.
A whole bunch of woo-woo.
Okay, so here's what Joy says. She says that, you know, well, before the fall, you know, they didn't kill animals, and I agree. My theory is before the fall, animals were regenerate, so you could just go and take a bite of bacon.
Up,
so you could eat raw animal.
But you didn't get sick, so
like,
it doesn't matter.
Like bits of fur and stuff in it,
so
too?
So they were all like...
It was nutritious.
The Wolverines.
Your theory is like before the fall, animals were like made of candy, like Willy Wonka factory.
Well, it was like that, so you could just take a bite, you know, that's some good bacon, and then it grew back and they didn't die.
Except bacon doesn't just fall off of a pig. Like, well, you have to smoke it and like do all this stuff to it.
That is the worst.
Marcus, I'm not having you on again.
So I'm not against GMOs. I'm actually for them, because I think they're going to further the gospel purpose in feeding the world, and to where we can GMOs turn our weapons into plowshares.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw that video that Douglas Wilson did. It was interesting. I didn't disagree with it, but it was interesting. And I think you're kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, I like what, you know. I think somewhere along the lines he said, like, if a guy was starving to death on an island and every day, like, Oreo cookies washed up on shore, and he gained a lot of weight, and
but
then, like, they came to rescue him, and they saw that he was overweight, they'd be like, praise God that you had Oreos. They wouldn't be like, oh, no, all you had to eat was Oreos.
Yeah. No, yeah, what I was going to say is, you know, we try to eat organic. Obviously, it's expensive, although it is becoming much more affordable. I think
capitalism will find a way.
Yeah, and I think you brought a good point, just that for those that try to eat that way, you know, we shouldn't do it to a point where we're making people that can't afford to eat that way. Not that I can afford to eat that way all the time, but you know, we shouldn't make people that can't afford that like feel like jerks.
Well, you should. I mean, if you something you feel passionate about, you should try to, you know, maybe feed people the way you would want to feed yourself, or, you know, just don't
feed
be such a
the
snob.
Way you want to be feeded.
I'm not gonna lie though. If I could, I would eat cheeseburgers all day long.
But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are just huge food
burger
snobs.
Burger rain.
But isn't that the goal? Like, the goal is to eventually find a way in which we can have cheeseburgers all day long that's good for you and does not require the death of an animal. That's the post-mill vision.
Wow.
Figure it out.
It's true.
I would eat bacon.
This is the only radio show in the world I can talk like an idiot like this, and like y'all agree.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so like that's
I didn't say
cool.
I agree,
like that's why I'm in favor of like cloning meat.
Yeah.
Because like if we could just clone meat and like no animal has to actually die, there you go. We found, you know, I think Doug Wilson calls it petroleum bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon. Hey, man.
It'll be overrun.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time here. Marcus, thanks so much for being on again, brother. We love you. Check out crownrights.org and
gospelspam.com,
apologiaradio.com, and of course americanvision.com and .org.
And check out your mom.
Bacon, peace.
Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio. Also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologiachurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting is the NBC Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.